And my dignity is in my freedom. My dignity is in my freedom to be the person I want to be. I don't want you making me the person you want me to be. I'm going to be the person I want to be. And thank God we're in great America that defends freedom of choice. I can choose the temple. I can choose the church, the Muslim mosque, or the church. I can choose what I want to in America as long as it's decent and honorable. I can choose what I want in America. In fact, I don't have to be decent and honorable. There's just a law to catch me and hurt me or punish me and take my money. But I can be an Al Capone. I can be a Marcita Sade. I can be anything in America. And thank God we have freedom of choice. And thank God we still have the human nature in us that God gave us. Our choice is excellence. Our choice is righteousness. Our choice is to be God's servants. Praise be to Allah. We have recent publications by beautiful authors letting us know that all of us didn't come over here as animists or worshippers of the spirits of our ancestors or worshippers of idols in Africa. And all of us didn't come over here as Christians. In fact, Christian America never wanted to believe that they were bringing Christians from Africa and putting them in bondage here. They didn't want to believe that. So they didn't want to accept that the slave traders would bring Christians from Africa here. So if they didn't like that, they didn't want to enslave Christians, then who are we the children of? We're the children of idol worshippers, animists, parent spirit worshippers. Are we Muslim? One or the other. So these books, new books, they document that many Muslims were brought to America in slave ships. Then there is, whether you want it or not, whether you like it or not, you may not want to be a Muslim. But many of you who are not Muslim, you have a natural hunger and urge in your soul and in your spirit to be reconnected with what you were cut off from. Dr. Eric Lincoln, he said in his studies, he's a great theologian, a great African-American theologian, he said that he believes strongly that there is a genetic, Islamic genetic memory in black people. That means you don't remember it, but your genes, your flesh, your body remembers it. Your body still remembers that you were once Muslim. Your body, your human body with the genes from your fathers in it, still remember that you were Muslim. And that's why you have an interest in Islam. That's why you have an interest in Muslim. Many of you, not all of you. And that's why you are happy when you become Muslim. And you can wait until you learn Islam. You don't mind. Inside your body, the genes are shouting, I'm back again where I was before, in Islam. Your mind can't shout because you don't know Islam yet. But I have learned Islam, and I shout with my whole being, flesh, mind, soul, and spirit. They're going to put us out of here at 5:30 or so. But I'm doing my best. I'm trying to skip over things that are less important and get it done quickly because I don't want them to turn the lights out on us. I will miss some of it. I'll just go past some of this. But what I want to say is this. Many people have been the victims of inhuman, demonic, horrible oppressors. And I, as a student of the ways of God and man, I'm convinced that it was the will of God that we be put on slave ships and be brought to this country, this continent. I'm convinced it was the will of God. They could not have done it if God had not accepted it as our fate that would put us in a situation to come out of it as a reborn people. And Scripture talks of it. They see how the metal, the gross metal, is put into the refiner's fire, and how the impurities is made to separate from the purities of the metal, and a better and more durable and pure substance is created because it had been put into the fire. Plantation life, life in America up until the 60s was hellfire. It was a fiery furnace fired up by the demons, warped-minded white people who had lost their sense of what Christ really was to them. And they had done this to us. They had put us in the fiery furnace, but it didn't burn out anything but our impurities. The pure at heart has survived. It had only burnt out our impurities. Now we are ready as a new people to serve our God and to lead humanity back to humanity. Yes, God has prepared us to use us in this conclusion of things for man on the earth. Yes, this is the day of religion. This is the conclusion of things. He has prepared us to use us in this day of the conclusion of things so that we will be a witness to them that God is God and there is but one God, the one who created man and everything. And that no matter what happens for his human product in the world, he has power to re-establish them as he intended for them to be established. So I'm not worried about CPC. God is in charge. I'm not worried about Comtrust. God is in charge. Someone say, oh, you better be careful. Whitey might reverse it and have us in slavery again. I'm not worried about Whitey. God is in charge. And God has always been in charge. And your calendar is long. God's calendar is short. It seemed like it was just last week that we had racism and ugly racism glaring at us, staring us in the face, in the South and in the North. I experienced it also in Chicago. It seemed like it was just yesterday almost. It is gone. Oh, I hear you. No, it's not gone. But why don't you get rid of it? You're free. It ain't gone. You get rid of it. You're free. If you need me, call me. I'll help you get rid of it. I'll do my part. Maybe more than my part. I'll do some of your part, too, because I know you're much weaker than I am if you think racism is still a big issue. Look here. The need for us to be responsible for ourselves and our families and our houses and our apartments and our neighborhood, our children and our block and the trouble on our block, that's the bigger issue right now, buddy. Praise be to Allah. Thank you. So all of our troubles for the innocent, is nothing but test, trial and test, and a refiner's fire to drive out from us the impurities so that we will become a pure people like refined iron and steel. It becomes harder. It becomes more resistant to rain and rust. It becomes harder and more durable and long-lasting. So you should be a very special people. The man who told my taught my father, he said, I can sit on the top of the world. He wasn't talking about what he saw then. He was talking about what God had blessed him to envision that would come out of us in the future. When America would open up, and we would have a chance to really establish our life ourselves. He said, I can sit on top of the world, a future picture he saw, and I can tell anyone that the most beautiful nation is in the wilderness of North America. And he was talking about the nation of Islam and the members that he had brought together under the honor of Elijah Muhammad, my father, with no more than 3 years education, elementary education from Georgia, a man that didn't know nothing. He didn't know anything but just existing in America and trying to fight for his life like an animal, like a nice animal, like a nice doe, a deer, like a nice rabbit. That's all he knew. And a man came and put something in his head. He put a seed, a germ in his head that just fed his brain and his life. It was really nothing but the seed or the germ of the true human being's essence. He put back into the man the human essence that he had lost, that the world had taken away from him. He put back into that man those human essence that God made. And it just burst him. It just stretched him out. It just made him see further. It made him more determined not to be treated like less than a human being. So, what am I trying to say to you? Don't you think that you just became something worthwhile when you joined the Temple of Islam? Don't you think that you just became something of importance when you said you were Muslim? You were important when you didn't know what you were. God knew what you were. You were important when you didn't know what religion should be yours. God knew what you were. You were his human vessel that he created. And the world had defiled that human vessel. And he knew that in time you would throw out, you would puke up what defiled you. And your human essence would begin to manifest and burst forward in you to make you the great giant that God created you to be. And it has happened. It has happened in America. It has happened in the greatest and most powerful country on earth. It has happened in America. There has been a new birth. Those who are with me from my father, you are not the same black man. You are not the same black woman. You are a brand new people on this earth. You are brand new people on this earth. You have a brand new spirit. You have a brand new will. You have a brand new intelligence. You have a brand new mind. And if you think like I tell you to think, buddy, respecting God's word and Muhammad, the model human, you will have brand new thoughts. And when you have brand new thoughts, you will be walking behind me and working with me. And I won't feel your weight anymore. You'll be standing on your own 2 feet. So accept the ugly past as God's will, a condition to forge you into the wonderful, bright, and brilliant creature that God has made, the new African America in a new Africa on these shores. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? Yes, it is. If my father had not presented Islam the way he presented it to us, I would not be a Muslim. Because when I got older and started studying on my own, I was attracted to communism. And Malcolm was too. He told me the same thing, that he was attracted to it while he was in prison. I was attracted to communism because I couldn't understand everything I was taught. There were too many questions unanswered. I mean serious questions. There was a conflict for reality. God made me to be free as a rational thinking human being. My father and mother never worked against that development in me. They encouraged me to think, to use my own good senses. My father asked me, he said, how can you, knowing how our Savior found me and your mother, poor, drunk, not my mother, but my father, drunk, etc., and look how he has dignified us, how can you say he is not God? How can you reject him? That's what my father said to me. I told my father, I said, Daddy, I could better accept you. I say, but that's your Savior.
but I can better accept you. I didn't tell him this because you're not saying you're God. You're saying your teacher's God. I could not accept a man as God. That was not in my reason, not in my intelligence, to accept a man as God. Once a brother, I was manager of the restaurant. I was a young minister in Chicago. Wow, I better look at this time. buddy, we're going to have to stop. I was a young man, and my father had made me the manager of the restaurant. And I had grown up from delivering groceries and cleaning floors at the store, and went in the restaurant. He asked me to go work in the restaurant. I went there, and I just automatically just started cooking, and I was a very good cook. So he saw that I was doing so well with the restaurant, he made me manager. And there was one Savior's Day, the big convention for the Nation of Islam, coming, and the brothers were coming off. They were coming more from Chicago. They were coming more to the restaurant, I guess, hoping that they'll see out-of-towners, or just Muslims like to be together. And this big black brother named Robert, big black brother, strong, he was strong enough to just take my hand and break it. Take my leg in his hand and break it. He could have took my head and just twisted it and broke every bone in my neck. That man was terribly strong. We all knew him called Big Robert. Big Robert came in the restaurant. He said, "Sisters, come serve the God." Because we were taught that the black man is God. He said, "Sisters, come serve the God." I immediately heated up, and I walked out the kitchen door right quick, and I said, "Hey, you're no God." I said, "You're not my God." And my little self was just like little David. I put fear in Goliath. That man was afraid of me. I could see fear in his eyes. And he went on and sat down, and I never had any problem with him again coming in there like that. How are you, God? And you break wind just like everybody else. You stink like everybody else. You can't even put yourself over the white man. And you're going to tell me you're over the heavens and the earth? You need to go to a psychiatrist. Fast! Oh, but we gave the white man 6,000 years to rule us, to prove that we can survive his cruel rule. Well, the 6,000 years been up, man. What's going on now? We have given him an extension of time. Yeah, we know you have. We know you have. He's going to keep getting an extension of time because you can't deal with it. Thank God. God will deal with him, and God has dealt with him, and brought the beauty and the humanity to flower in the white people of America, and have pushed the beast back out of America's life. They're hiding now. There's still Klansmen in Illinois, Southern Illinois. There's Klansmen in Northern Indiana. We know the Klan is still around, and some worse than Klan members are still around. But one thing, this environment is not inviting them to come out, and they know it. They're hiding. So we were uprooted. And thank God that we have wise people on earth that know how to put us back in the soil, in the dirt. You hear me? Dirt. Back in the dirt of the earth, or find us where we are in the dirt of the earth, and give us an environment for our new birth and new growth. Thank God that there are wise people that know how to do that. And we had wise ones come to us, and that's what they did. Found us in the dirt, but brought the environment, the mental environment, the spiritual environment, the human environment, brought it back around us like clean earth, fertile earth, without poisons of an industry, without the things that will kill the life germs. And we have come to birth again. Out of Mother Earth, out of the womb of Mother Earth, we have been born again. And we are rising up erect as human beings. Homo erectus, rising up perpendicular to the square. We are rising up as
The mustaqim. Muhammad said to a man, he asked him a question, a young man. He said, tell me something no one else can tell me, Prophet. Meaning, since you know God, since you talk to God, since God is talking to you, tell me something nobody else can tell me. He said, say, meaning speak with your own mouth. You got to do something. Say, kul, he said. Kul in Arabic means say. Amantu, I have accepted faith. And thereafter, be mustaqim. He said, thumma istaqim, meaning thereafter be mustaqim. Mustaqim, upright in your nature. Upright in your nature created for you by your God. That's what he said. Let your behavior be correct after you say you believe. Let your behavior be correct after you say you believe. Let your behavior be right after you say you believe. And if you should stumble and fall or err, remember your religion. Remember yourself that you're supposed to be upright and straighten up again so that you stay presentable before your Creator. And if you do that over a long enough period, God will be with you in everything you face and in everything you do. I know it. I don't believe that. I know that. I more than believe. I know it. Muhammad the Prophet says that the human being striving to please Allah, to please God, says he tries so long, over and over again, whenever he makes a mistake, he goes to his God and says, forgive my mistake, forgive my sin. Say he does that for so long, it becomes his nature. He's taken back to his original nature that God put in the garden before to seduce our parents out of the nature. He comes back to that nature. And Muhammad the Prophet says, when he speaks, it's as though God spoke. If he hits you, as though God hits you. And when I write the formula for egg mate, it's as though God wrote it. When I tell them how to direct and manage Comtrust, it is as God wrote the prescription. I know it. I'm doing nothing. I'm no more than an instrument. God is the doer. But he has given me the freedom to get credit for it if I want. But thank God, I know God. I know his presence in me, and I know his presence outside of me. I'm not going to take the credit for what he's doing. He is building economic dignity with me as his instrument, and you as my workers working with me. God is building economic dignity, not only for African-American Muslims, but for poor Mexicans, poor Spanish-speaking people, poor whites. All of you, I invite you to come on in, because God is building economic dignity for the poor, for those who think they cannot rise economically. And this is the work of my Father. That's why I said to you earlier, and we thought Elijah was dead. Elijah's not dead. When you looked at that screen, didn't you see Elijah? Isn't that what Elijah showed you when he was living? Didn't he show you the same thing? Didn't he put it in the centerfold of the Muhammad speech? Huh? And you see it again? He's gone, but you see it again? That's Elijah. And God was with him when he didn't know the Quran. And he's even more with his son that carry Elijah's genes in my body. He's even more that with him, with his son more, because his son knows the Quran and loves it and will follow it and lifts it up above all books written by man. The Quran, the sacred script of God. I lift it up above all the works of men. And I lift Muhammad up above all the leaders of men. He is the most excellent model for any people who believe in God and the last day. That's what God says in our holy book of him. And I'm concluding this now. We have had Nat Turner. We've even had white people die for us, like John Brown, who knew he was going to be killed by his own people. He knew he couldn't beat them. He knew he couldn't liberate us from the great multitudes of whites and their establishments. He knew it.
But he put himself on the line and gave his life to demonstrate to his people the heavy gravity of their terrible sin against our humanity. Frederick Douglass, the great statesman, who was a slave and had a kind master who permitted him to educate himself, brought him books to study so he would be better educated. But his first master ran into financial problems, and he told Frederick Douglass, "I'm sorry, but I'm going to have to sell you so I can get some money to keep myself out of debt and from being financially destroyed." So he sold Frederick Douglass to another master, and it hurt his heart to do so. And the next master was not nice like the first one. He treated him like a slave, like an inferior. So Frederick Douglass one day was so insulted by the treatment he was getting from his master, he hit his master. I imagine he did this. I imagine his master was just standing up there. He failed. He couldn't take that slave. He couldn't take that brute force of the slave. He was too delicate for it. He knocked him out on the road. And he went by foot until he reached the north, in the land where there was not a law protecting slavery, up north. And he became a great statesman. He joined the abolitionists, good white Christians who were working hard to get slavery abolished or ended or taken off the books. He joined them. He so impressed the president at that time, Abraham Lincoln, that Abraham Lincoln consulted him and benefited greatly from his mind and his knowledge. And in time, we were emancipated. We were free. And when we were freed, it is reported by writers of that great day of our emancipation, that slaves could be seen running to grab anything that they could read. Newspaper, piece of a book, a page out of anything, just to read it, because they had been denied the freedom to educate themselves. They had been denied the freedom to read, because reading will educate you. Allah says the first words of Revelation to our Prophet Muhammad, he told him, the unlettered prophet, he told him, he said, read. The first words from God. He didn't say, "I am Allah." Not like Moses was saying, "I am God," etc. No, he didn't say, "I am Allah." He said to Muhammad, "Read." And then he introduced one of his attributes after telling him, "Read." He said, "Read in the name of your Lord," one of the attributes of God, Rab, Rab. And Muhammad, after God repeated to him several times, Muhammad began to understand, and he began to receive the words, the revelation, the words of the Quran that was meant, intended for all mankind. That's how it happened. Said, "Read." So now, here we are free. Remember our parents who experienced the first day knowing that they were free. Remember their hunger, their appetite, that they had an appetite to learn to read so they could be free indeed. No human being is free if your intelligence is enslaved, if your mind is enslaved. You are not free. I had a pigeon once. I got the pigeon as a little small thing, couldn't fly. And I fed it and loved it and took care of it, and it learned to fly. If I hadn't permitted it to have the freedom God gave it, it would still be my captive. But one day it would fly away from me and come back and light on my shoulder. That's such a thrill for a young boy. I was about 12 years old, or maybe 11. I was a child, but I was happy to see it now with a pigeon who could really speak its own language, speak the pigeon language. It is social environment that God made for it. So I was happy to see it join another pigeon. Now, white folks, be happy to see us join another black man. Some white people are scared to death when they see us loving each other. They think we're going to be remembering what they did and get together in big numbers and hurt them. Buddy, we don't want to hurt you. We ain't going to punish you for what your fathers did. We have forgiven you, and we are praying, God, that your
your forefathers won't burn in hell too long. Yes, they're scared to death when they see us on the streets talking to each other, smiling, and look like we're enjoying each other's company. They're scared to death. Don't be afraid. I let that pigeon go with his family. Let us go with our family. We ain't hurting you. We just want to be free. We have no intention to drop droppings on you or anything. We ain't even dropping any droppings on you, buddy. We are human pigeons. We are human birds. We ain't going to mess you up at all. We want to keep your environment clean. We won't even flush your windshield or your car, man. We don't do that to you, right, brother? Let us go to our family and be happy so we can be better citizens of America and make a bigger contribution to the United States of America and the world. Let us go free. Don't work against us becoming Muslims if that's our choice. America is land of the free and home of the brave. And damn it, I'm brave. And I'm free, and you can't take it away from me. I'm going to have freedom of choice. I choose Islam, I choose Quran, I choose Muhammad. I choose this religion for myself, and as long as my children are under my supervision and not of age to make their own decisions, I am choosing Islam for all of my children. As long as my wife will like me, will love me, and she doesn't have to love me, as long as she respects me, I choose Islam for my wife. And that's my responsibility. And I hope you all feel the same way. Thank God we are free at last. We are free at last. You're not free when you're just free from physical bondage. You're not free until your mind is free. And your human spirit is free. Your human spirit will take you where God wants you to go. And if you got that human spirit that will follow what God wants, your mind will be blessed by God to know how to get your body there. To get your body there. We're tired of being spooks in America or anywhere else. We are no spooks. We have a human body like everybody else. Don't tell me to accept God, immigrant Muslim from Pakistan and from Egypt and other places. Don't come over here and give me a life of Muslim ritualism. I don't obey God, and I want to get my share of this material world. Don't give me a spirit and tell me I can't have a body. God didn't give me a spirit and tell me I can't have a body. God gave me a spirit and he gave me a material body to house my spirit. Now give me a material environment to house my mind and my spirit that is African-American. We want to see New Africa. We want to see New Africa Islamic theaters. We want to see skyscrapers go up. And we build it. We want to see shipping lines and trucking lines and print lines all over in our neighborhood. We want to walk outside our house and we want to look at the product and the construction and the industry of our own people, Muslim African Americans in New Africa, on these shores. That's our rightful inheritance as the creation of God. God has created us for this. That's our natural inheritance, and we will accept nothing less. Nothing less. They have Spanish Town, they have Chinatown. Damn it, get ready for African American Town, Muslim New Africa. And I will say it, I know you've been waiting for it. You've been waiting for me to say it. We cannot be stopped now.
Be sure and join us next time for the national public broadcast of W.D. Muhammad, Muslim American Society Leader. For more on the ministry of Imam Muhammad, call 1-708-798-6653 or write Post Office Box 1061, Calumet City, Illinois, 60409. For Muslim Journal, see local distributor. And thanks for listening.